Already the ring tempted him, gnawing at his will and reason. Wild fantasies arose in his mind, and he saw Samwise the Strong, hero of the age, striding with the flaming sword across the darkened land, and armies flocking to his call as he marched to the overthrow of Barad-dûr. And then all the clouds rolled away, and the white sun shone, and at his command the Vale of Gorgoroth became a garden of flowers and trees and brought forth fruit. He had only to put on the ring and claim it for his own, and all this could be. The Tower of Cirith Ungol. Today we are going to be taking a closer look at perhaps the most important part of the player card pool, the heroes. We all have our favorites, but it's time to roll up our sleeves, and to pull no punches, it's time for a hero showdown. It is episode 43 of the Great Company Podcast. Today on the show, we're talking heroes. When we got into this game, a big pull was being able to play some of our favorite big names from the books. The game certainly has delivered, but with so many heroes around these days, what does it take to be truly heroic? This discussion will take us through the four spheres of influence, and we'll be talking about our most and least favorites, and the distinctions between generalized and more specialized heroes. But before we do that, let's catch up with the rest of the gang. Ian, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing good. Just spending a busy weekend cleaning my house, but also kind of finagling some organizing of my games into that. So catching up on organizing all my Netrunner cards and Game of Thrones cards and my Lord of the Rings, which I realized when I was looking at it that I haven't sorted my cards into their various storage solutions since the Lost Realm, so I'm nice. A little behind. Just a little.
All right. And also joining us is Matthew. How are you?
I am good. I got to play a little bit of Lord of the Rings yesterday. And so it was fun. It's been a while since I've played it. Otherwise, just hanging in, working a lot, but trying not to work too much.
Good. Yeah. I'll work and no play. No, I'm not even going to go there. And Dan will not be joining us. Dan is away on assignment in Europe. So Dan, we'll see you when you get back home, buddy. So for the sake of a healthy debate and hopefully a compelling discussion, we want to say up front that we are not merely picking out our favorite heroes today. It would be too tempting to take the easy way out if we did. Instead, we are going to lay down some definitive judgments on who we think are objectively the best and worst heroes in each sphere. Obviously, in reality, this isn't an exact science, but we're going to act like it is because we are men of science here at the Gray Company. And we're going to go through several questions per sphere. But before we do that, my first question is, how do we judge how strong a hero is? How do you determine if a hero is top tier? What does it even mean to be top tier? What do you guys think? What were some things that went through your mind as you were looking at the heroes, in the last several months of preparation for this episode?
Well, some background on this episode topic. Ian and I were discussing on Facebook our newest hero that just came out in the AP, Elfhelm. And I was kind of like, Ian, what do you think of this guy? And he's like, of course, Ian thinks everything's good, so he thought it was good. And I said, really? I think it's kind of a dud. And it brought up this discussion of how older heroes like Corset, maybe the first, perhaps second cycle, were much more generalized and therefore better. They've remained relevant to this day. Whereas a lot of the newer heroes, because a lot of the general stuff is already covered, is very niche. And the new guy who only works with mounts, you really have to build around him. Very, very niche, very, very specialized. If you're not doing mounts, you're not using them at all because you get no benefit whatsoever. So that's sort of what prompted this particular episode topic, was the discussion Ian and I were having offline. So very quickly, I'll say, how do I judge how strong a hero is? Certainly stats are important, but to me, I almost think that their ability, their response or their action or whatever it happens to be, usually is going to trump their stats in how strong a hero is, but certainly the combination or the interaction of those two things is important as well.
Yeah, it's tricky really judging because Matthew's mentioning kind of the idea of niche heroes versus ones that can kind of fit into a variety of decks. And that is definitely one thing I keep in mind. Like one thing I use to determine if a hero is top tier is if I put this hero into a deck, will it make that deck better? Just that one change. Will that change by itself kind of enhance what that deck is doing? And obviously, probably with any hero, they're not going to make every single deck better, but if they can make the majority of decks better, they're probably top tier. But on the other hand, you also have some heroes like, we'll say, Dane Ironfoot, who I'm sure we'll discuss later on. Obviously, he doesn't fit well into non-dwarf decks, but you could never say he's not a top tier hero. So it's a little bit tricky. It's not necessarily just that a hero can fit into, you know, any decks. There's some other things that have to be taken into consideration. Like, I guess, what impact that hero has on an actual game. How much weight are they pulling?
Yeah. What you're talking about, Matthew, about the differences between the generalized and the specific heroes, that, yeah, we're going to be talking about that a lot as we get into these spheres. But I think taking what both of you guys said, what it comes down to is how thoroughly or how specifically do I have to build a deck around this hero? My first question is always how thoroughly is this hero going to let me win, or how swiftly is this hero going to let me beat the quests? But Gandalf is a great example of a hero who will win a lot of quests, but you really absolutely have to build your entire deck around him and his abilities. So there's a lot of back and forth when it comes to this. Now, some are obviously duds, which we're going to get to very shortly and have some strong things to say. But some...
Oh, wait, sorry.
I can't wait.
Shots fired.
It's sliders. We're going backwards and forwards in time here. So.
But in any case, yeah, just like we did with our discussion on, you know, what is the one deck to rule them all, our definitive answer was, it depends. And I think we're going to have some of that, not as much with the one deck, but with the heroes, we're going to have some of that, it depends kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But definitely what you said, Matthew, is very true, that some of these earlier heroes with generalized abilities, I think they're going to come up a lot more than more recent ones, Elfhelm being a great example of that. Okay, cool. So shall we get to this? Shall we ring the bell?
Let's do it.
Round one. Let's talk spirit. Now, I want to start by saying that I went through the spheres and I went through the hero lists courtesy of hollowofbjorn.com, I was very surprised that some of the absolute worst heroes were found in what is probably my favorite sphere, the spirit sphere. I had the easiest time saying, yeah, this guy's terrible. There's some really weak heroes. And then as I got into the other spheres, I had more difficulty with that. So I don't know, maybe I'm not really a spirit guy at heart. So here we go. Each round, each sphere, we're going to go through the same questions. And the first question is always going to be, who do you think are the three best spirit heroes? Matthew, go.
I didn't prepare notes. We have Ian go first.
Okay, sure.
Sorry.
So who do you think are the three best spirit heroes? Ian, go. Go, 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 go.
Oh. I was gonna say one point in regards to what you were saying, Derek.
Nope, it's too late.
I don't think it means spirit is necessarily not as much favorite as you think, because I found the same thing. I think spirit just has the clearest kind of dichotomy between good and bad, whereas in leadership and lore, as we go on, I will be a lot more struggling to kind of figure out my answer. That being said, my three favorite spirit heroes, this was really tough because there are some strong heroes, but I narrowed it down to Eowyn, Corset. She's proven her worth over such a long period of time. There's no way I couldn't give her a spot. Arwen, ever since she came in, she just go... What I was talking about earlier, a hero that I can put into a deck and made it better, I was actually thinking of Arwen when I was saying that. Sometimes when a deck is struggling, I throw Arwen into it and it just works better. And number three, this was the tough one. Eowyn and Arwen were a clear top two for me. And ultimately, I settled on Galadriel, actually. I think her... threat reduction, her card draw, plus the mirror's ability to just grab the card you need, gave me that spot, gave her that spot, I should say. But it was a close one with a couple of heroes that I'll mention later.
Okay, I find Arwen a little bit surprising. I included her later on, one of the later questions that we're going to talk about, as a splashable hero, because main reason being, her abilities, besides, I mean, her stats are great, but her ability is very specific to the Noldor, you know, when Aragorn gets tacked on because, you know, he's her boy toy. But I don't know. I mean, do you not think that having to base it, or, I mean, she is an older hero, so you can give it to her, which is good. But I mean, is that enough to, including the discard? I mean, you discard for A1, but is that enough to justify her as one, as like a top tier one?
For me, yes. Okay. Because yeah, I mean, she can just give it to herself. Also, kind of bringing Elven Light into the discussion, so that can be really great kind of on-demand card draw, basically. So once you have that in your discard pile, then you're basically getting kind of either an extra resource or a card per turn, whatever you need. She has 3 willpower, which is solid. So yeah, just kind of those 2 core abilities of resource generation and kind of card draw in a sphere that traditionally hasn't had much of either, kind of is what propels her to the top for me.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess that one thing we are going to come back to a lot is the fact that there are a lot of companion cards to specific heroes. So when you think about Elven Light, that does definitely up her score quite a lot. Okay. What do you think, Matthew? It was about Arwen or any of Ian's choices?
Honestly, not what I thought he would pick, I guess, because they're not what I would pick, which, you know, is very egocentric of me, I suppose. So for my top 3, Eowyn, where we have some agreement here, I think is an easy choice. Glorfindel, I think, is also a choice. I'm not ranking him in any particular order. And then from there, it's harder for me to pick, and in part because I haven't used a lot of the newer heroes, haven't used Arwen, haven't used Círdan, haven't used Landwin, haven't used Fatty Bulger. I mean, so there's a lot of them I've never used. Merry, a lot of them I've never used. Kaldara, Pippin. Oh, no, I've used Pippin, actually. But I don't know, so it's harder for me to pick. I would maybe even just say Frodo. So here I am, going old school. But those would probably be my 3 most powerful spirit heroes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I went with Eowyn and Frodo. I'll tell you my 3rd later when we move on to the discussion. But I think with Eowyn's kind of a no-brainer because she has the 4 willpower, which Círdan does as well, but I think his ability is a little dubious. She's just the power quester, and she always has been. And with Frodo, I think he's got decent stats, and then his ability allows you to, it almost, in my opinion, allows you to bypass enemies in a way. Because I was playing a Hobbit deck the other day, and it's kind of like, you know what, my threat's already low. I've got my threat reduction cards. I'm just going to, engage this guy and let Frodo eat it up. And it can be a very dangerous tool, as it's supposed to be. But I just think that ability is so universal and such a lifesaver that it's, you know, especially in a spirit deck, it's kind of hard to deny. Do you have anything you wanted to add, Ian, before I share my 3rd?
No.
Okay. My 3rd was Idrien. Now, here's why. She does have, the map that is specific to her. That's a great benefit to her. We're also getting a lot of scout support lately, which I like and which I think ups her value a lot. And her stats are huge. Having 3 attack in spirit is very important. And then the readying. I think she's almost like a leadership hero in spirit because she has great stats and her highest being attack and the readying. So she's very, very versatile. I don't know that she's necessarily very splashy, but for a spirit deck to have that kind of the readying and then the other bonuses she gets as a scout, I think is pretty huge.
That's an interesting one. Yeah. I still, when she first came out, I was using her quite a bit and I was pretty, my opinion of her was on the high end of the scale. And lately I haven't been using her a ton, I think because of the other spirit heroes that came out. And I think also kind of, my solo player bias, which is, you know, in solo play, you can't always count on having a location out available to ready her. I do think in multiplayer, her value definitely goes up because you're usually always going to have a location out there in multiplayer.
And she is similar to Landwin, but I think that exploring a location is a little more guaranteed than Surge.
Yeah.
And I had another point, but I forgot what it was. Okay, so those are our 3 best spirit heroes. for you guys, which other spirit heroes are in the top tier? You know, not necessarily top three, but that are in that upper echelon of spirit heroes. I'll start by saying Círdan. And the reason that he was kept out of my top three was because the discard thing is pretty niche. Just as Matthew said, the more current we get with the heroes, we see that all their abilities have these little quirks about them. So you get the card draw, but you have to discard one of those cards, which, I don't know, I seem to be the only person on the planet that has a problem with that, because I just only put good cards in my deck, so I can't discard one. but just the fact that you're losing a card is fine, but I don't know. I always find that I often end up having difficulty choosing. And he is, you know, closely tied with the Noldor trait. So to me, that's kind of what keeps him and heroes like him out of that top three spot. Or some of your guys, your other top tier spirit heroes.
Yeah, I had Círdan up there on my list as well. I think he can be top tier. He can be super strong, especially when you pair him with Narya.
Yeah.
And those kind of decks can be really good. The four willpower, plus if you throw like Light of Valinor and some Redding, he can be a serviceable defender as well, or even pitch into attack. But he didn't quite make my top three, even though I do like the card draw, and I don't think I have as much a problem with the discarding one as you do, Derek. but he just doesn't fit into as many decks as the top three heroes
right.
I picked. And you kind of have to build specifically, mostly because of that high threat. And so that is, so he's still very strong, but he didn't quite make the top. Actually, the hero I mentioned, I had a tough job picking my third hero, and I picked Galadriel. The hero I was deciding between was actually Kaldara. Between Galadriel and Kaldara was my pick. Kaldara decks are super strong these days. Obviously, that is a very specific build, but that's a case where I think the power of a specific build with a hero may be so high that they still are in contention for me for being a top tier hero, because the power level is just really strong. And Kaldara decks these days, ever since Sword Thane came out and a couple of other cards, I would say are among the top tier decks in the game right now. So for that reason alone, I considered Kaldara for a top spot.
This is one of the good things about going through the heroes again. You know, Matthew, you mentioned some of the heroes you hadn't tried. I realized I'd never played a proper Kaldara deck.
No.
So having you say that, Ian, I'm going to go find one like right after we're done recording and try it out, because I put her later on as one of the more niche heroes,
mm-hmm.
and you do have to build your deck around her. But if
it's
that powerful, I cannot keep my cred as a Lord of the Rings LCG person if I don't actually try that deck. What about you, Matthew? Who's a top tier for you?
It was actually kind of hard after the top three. I mean, I think Elanor is really underrated. I've said it many, many episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So in multiplayer games, I think she's great. She definitely deserves more than the one ring she has on Hall of Beorn. I think that Idrian was one that I was considering. I think she's pretty good. Again, probably more from a multiplayer perspective. Landwin, I think, is really cool, but I'm not so sure that she would enter into, you know, super powerful stuff. So, probably those two for me. Certainly with dwarf decks, that changes. A lot of these other guys are good too. I mean, Nori's great in a dwarf deck, but general sort of power, not so much. So I would say those two.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on Elanor. She does not get enough credit, because that her ability is just such a lifesaver all the time. I think she might even beat out Galadriel for me. Galadriel was in my top tier, but because of the goodies she has to have to get her going, to me, Elanor might barely edge her out. So hopefully maybe we'll get some discussion on the socials about that, because Galadriel is amazing. Even her base ability is good. And then, of course, once you get the mirror and her ring, she only gets better. But just having that cancellation immediately available for Elanor, especially when there are so many Gondor abilities that work out. I was playing with Dan last week, and I had a very specific Gondor deck, actually the one that Matt Newman built, and Dan had Elanor in his deck, and just all the buffs that she got from the Gondor thing was just such a treat. in addition to the cancellation that she already has, but I digress.
Yeah, that is the weakness of Galadriel, is that setup time. So if it's a quest where I need to get set up quickly, then I'll probably use someone else. And since Arwen came out, I've actually used Galadriel less, because Arwen kind of fills some of the same role as Galadriel. True. Not completely, but similar.
Yeah. And Glorfindel is also my top tier. Matthew, you mentioned him, and I like him a lot. I guess I'm just kind of sick of him, because he's still like just kind of clinging to that like top seat, even after all these years. Yeah. And you know, he's low maintenance, so he's nice to splash with, which we'll talk more about later. The threat raising isn't that big of a deal, but so he definitely maintains his position kind of at the top of the heap there. Yeah. All right, let's get to the fun part. Who do you think is the absolute worst spirit hero? I thought long and hard about this, but I will reserve my commentary until you guys chime in here.
I guess it's a race between Fatty and Pippin?
Yes, it is. You're exactly right.
Yeah. For me, it's clear Pippin for me.
Really?
He's the favorite punching bag, but yeah, Pippin.
Okay, I said Fatty, and let me explain why. So Pippin's ability, as terrible as it is, still fits within the mode of the Hobbit deck. So it, the avoidance thing works within the realm of what they're building the Hobbit trade around. Fatty, right, not so much. So Fatty's thing is basically, you know, you just, for those of you who have forgotten, because he's been collecting dust in your binder since Black Riders came out, you exhaust him to choose an enemy in the staging area, and you raise your threat by that enemy's threat until the end of the phase. The enemy does not contribute its threat. So that's kind of useful, but when you're playing a Hobbit deck, you're just going to and again, this will change with multiplayer, but when you're playing a Hobbit deck, you're just going to quest hard. All the spirit Hobbit decks, even the non-spirit Hobbit decks, are all about questing really hard. So he's a lot less useful because you're probably going to have the willpower necessary to overcome whatever that enemy's threat is. Now you get the exceptions for the enemies that have like 9 threat or crazy stuff like that. So I think for my money, Fatty is slightly more terrible than Pippin, but not by much. They both just need to be sitting out, smoking their pipes and fishing, and not going on adventures. So you got to be the split vote, man. You got to be the split vote, Matthew, or the votes, the deciding vote. What do you think? Come on, Matthew.
Rereading stuff. I'm going to go with Pippin.
Dang it.
Sorry.
That's fair.
I mean,
really, even though you got to raise your threat by 3?
Yeah. I mean, you have to raise your threat with Fatty as well. But so it could be less, it could be more, but at the very least they're not contributing their threat. So, you know, it's, I don't know, that to me is sort of what makes the ultimate decision.
Fair enough. And what I was saying before was that these two are the obvious standouts that are just obviously bad, but there's some others that kind of creep in there. Like, Dwalin is okay,
yeah,
but he's very specific. The other dwarves, like, you know, one of you guys said earlier, they're okay, or they're pretty good in a dwarf deck, but they're not great. Yeah. So I just feel like they're not necessarily lackluster heroes in the spirit sphere, but I guess there are more specific ones.
Yeah, Dune here, another one that's more specific, but I don't think bad. I don't think Dwalin's bad. He just gets overshadowed by Nori.
Yeah. Yeah. I built decks around trying to get Dwalin to work, and it just was not worth it.
It's very quest specific.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem.
And this kind of sorry, go ahead.
The thing with Pippin is I've actually used them in decks, and, you know, he's okay in that kind of Hobbit deck. It's not a top-tier deck, but it's fun. But Pippin, more than anything, is just frustrating to me. Like, there's, like, ten different small tweaks to his ability, which would have made it better. Like, not requiring controlling all Hobbits. Like, the fact that he only stops the enemy from engaging you, so in multiplayer, yeah, he would have been a lot more useful if he stopped the enemy from engaging everyone. So he's just frustrating to me that he was so close to being not great, but at least more usable, but he just got limited every turn.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Which leads us to our next question. Which spirit heroes are the most niche or specialized?
I think we kind of talked about it. Dune here, mm-hmm, Dwalin, any of the dwarf heroes, probably in any sphere, yeah, so we don't have to keep saying that. But maybe even Theoden to a degree. Really,
yeah,
he's not doing
so.
A whole lot for you unless it's Rohan, though he's really good in a Rohan deck.
For my money, it's Owen, because he...
Mm-hmm.
I almost put him in the top tier because I think his ability is going to become more and more clutch. And Amarthiel is in the same pool as well, where he gains a resource icon. Mm-hmm. I think with this introduction of the multi-sphere cards we've been seeing... Mm. Oin and Amarthiel are going to be pretty huge. The reason what kept Oin out of the top tier is because you have to have the dwarves to get that going, but there's nothing wrong with dwarves.
Nope. Yeah, Theoden's interesting that he didn't make any of our lists of kind of top tier consideration. I think probably because he is specialized and probably also because while Rohan decks are better than they used to be, I still think they are not quite at the level as some of the other top decks.
Yeah.
Not quite there. I think they need a few more pieces still.
He's also kind of bulky, too. Like, the 12 starting threat is... It fits his stats and his ability, but I find, especially with Spirit, I tend to go with slimmer decks. You know, I try to go lower threat and keep my threat down low, keep my head down. But in a Rohan deck, yeah, he's very good. And that's partly why I... Well, I will forego that part and let you guys talk before I go on to the next question.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing Rohan forever, and yesterday when I was playing, I was like, okay, I really like this deck. I actually think it's pretty good, but I'm ready for something new. Eowyn's probably still the MVP of the deck, but he certainly makes spamming a bunch of allies, you know, pretty easy because they don't cost as much. And the combination of, you know, Snowmane on Theodred and Heir of Mardil on Theoden, I mean, they're doing lots of stuff and it's fun. But yeah, I mean, he's good, but he's not good outside of a Rohan deck, which to me brings down the power level. And that's probably going to be my overall theme, is the more niche they are, the less powerful to me they are.
That's true. Well, which the last question of the round and of each round will be, which spirit heroes are the most versatile or splashable? And I included Theoden in that because he could be a part of any Rohan deck if it's tactics or leadership. He will up the value of that deck and then give you access to the spirit sphere, which is great for Rohan. You know, getting Heregrim as well and Snowmane, those are all very good, and the other mounts, the other spirit mounts as well. So I think he's a great choice for a splash if you're doing tactics or leadership or all three Rohan decks.
Pure splashing, just plopping into any deck because you need spirit. Obviously, Glorfindel, not even going to say it, though I just did. But Frodo, I think, has long been one who doesn't see much use these days, but still a great way to defend in a pinch if you need to.
Yeah, definitely. You know, pretty much all of the ones I mentioned is top tier. Frodo for sure. Glorfindel is King Splash. One of the ones
he makes a great cannonball.
Yeah, totally. The one that we didn't mention, I would say, is for multiplayer. I think Lanwyn is a good splash because her threat's not too high. Ranged is good in multiplayer. You're probably going to be seeing a lot of Surge, and probably not a lot of other players are going to be using her.
Yeah, as long she's as not a Surge, hero. When I played with Dan, he used her, and we were playing Stormcaller, and there was literally two cards in the deck with Surge.
So
she was good, but her value was greatly diminished when there wasn't.
Yeah, also quest dependent for sure. And she's probably not a hero I'm actually going to be using a lot, because in solo, she's a bit underwhelming, and I don't know. I like having an ability that I can control. Maybe that's a control freak part of me, but I don't like having it depend on Surge. But yeah, three or four player, I think she'd be a good splash hero.
I included Arwen in the splashable category because she kind of has that built-in resource generation. She has great stats, especially like Theoden. She fits well with the Noldor trait. So if you're playing a Noldor deck with other spheres involved, then she's a a great choice for resource gen and access to the spirit sphere.
I think even Merry could be decent because he's not Hobbit specific. It's just a way to lower your threat repeatedly. Let's throw in with some tactics when your threat's already kind of high. His threat's only six, and you know, you could continuously lower your threat. And you kind of want enemies, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, as long as he's got his pony, he's good to go.
Yeah,
that pony though. All right. Any other thoughts about Spirit before we crack on here?
Nope.
All right. That's enough Spirit. So let's move on to round two, the purple round, the leadership round. Same question, what we start with. Who do you think are the three best leadership heroes? Ian went first last time, so I'll jump in here. Sam.
Triple Sam.
Triple Sam. No, Sam is great. He's amazing. We were just talking about Merry and how he's good, especially because he isn't Hobbit-specific. Sam is the same way. Now, he is kind of Hobbit-specific. I should say he's low-threat-specific, and Hobbits tend to fit that niche. But his ability is just so good. It stacks. He has great quests, willpower in the leadership sphere, which is not all that common. He's got a nice, average, I'll say, pool of hit points. Sam's the man. We'll just put it that way. Do you want to explain your now, or do you want to wait?
No, keep going. Let's hear the other two.
The other two are Aragorn, because, come on, it's Aragorn. Yeah. As we've been saying, that generalized ability is huge. He has the readying. He's got great stats. And then my third choice, which may be my only, I don't even think it's surprising, but Balin. He has solid stats, and built-in shadow cancellation is awesome, especially in mono leadership, because with mono leadership you can have lots of money, and you can spend that money to cancel those shadow effects. And it's not even once per phase or once per round, it's once per attack. So he's got a lot of value on there if you put some money on him. And he only gets better in a dwarf deck. So those are my top three. Dissenters can go jump into Mount Doom.
This was a harder sphere for me than Spirit. Yeah. I think because this is like the quintessential niche array of heroes, they're all very, very specific. Very few of them, to me, are splashable, but we'll get to that question. Theodred, to me, is one of the top three. Balin, I absolutely agree, is top three. And then I'm like, eh. So if I have to pick one, I'm going to say Aragorn. And that's not to say that I don't recognize the power of a lot of the others, but they're just much more specific in the builds that they require. Although
Sam?
Kind of. He's a little squishy to me. Denethor is too new for me to have played with him, but he might be riding a pretty close fourth. Almost third, maybe.
Yeah, he's good. The reason he's in my top tier, but the reason why I kept him out of the top three is just because of is not as his ability is not as broad as the others. Mm-hmm. So this two starting resources is sweet. Being able to move stuff around is sweet, but it's only Gondor. The three defense is sweet. But again, I don't know. He just didn't quite do it for me.
Sure, I agree.
All right, we're not having any dissent yet, Ian. Give us something to talk about here. Give me something to get mad about.
Okay, so I'll give the first dissent, which is Denethor did make my top three.
Come on.
The new guy. Just playing with him so far, he does make a big difference, mostly because this game, as we've said over and over throughout the life of our cast, so much of it is about that opening round, that good setup, and he is kind of the ultimate setup hero. He's kind of like playing easy mode in a way. Like, on the surface of it, even when I first saw it, I'm like, two resources, that's nice, but it's not like you're not like, taking a vacation to the tropics or something on that, But it actually turns out to be a lot in practice, That's like a first turn Steward of Gondor. That's a first turn sword that was broken.
Well, what decks
that's...
are you playing him in? What are the other heroes that he's working with?
All kinds. That's part of the reason why I think he is good, is because he's pretty versatile to me. You can throw him in, even if you don't make a ton of use out of the moving because of the Gondor restriction, even just the setup resources are a difference, and then he's a good defender. But I've used him in a trap deck, so he's kind of the one leadership hero, and then he's funneling resources to Damrod, who has the Gondor trait, and he helps that deck get up and running. I've used him in just the straight Gondor deck. His use there is obvious. I've used him in some kind of... what other decks have I used them in recently? Even kind of decks that are off trait, like say it's a Noldor deck or a Rohan deck, and then he can use kind of throwing Steward of Gondor onto another hero, and then he's also funneling them resources. So there's kind of a few different things you can do with him, which is why he made top three for me.
Yeah, I will defer to your expertise because I've only played him a few times, and it was in Gondor decks, but I felt like he was... I don't know, it's kind of a limp noodle in the fact that you get the money, and his defense is okay, but then sometimes there were situations where I would have rather have had a questing hero. So I don't know. like I said, you've played him more than I have, so I will defer to your expertise, but I may have a really crushing comeback come the next episode.
Sounds good. Well, I mean, it's not a clear-cut thing. I agree with you guys that leadership was definitely much harder than spirit, because as Matthew said, there so many of them are just kind of niche. But that brings me to my other pick, which is Dane Ironfoot.
Really?
See, this is where I think that a top-tier hero doesn't necessarily need to be versatile.
If
you just look at... You just look at the raw power of what he does. Like, how many... If you compare Dane Ironfoot in a dwarf deck to what other heroes are doing in other decks, like, how many heroes can actually compare to what Dane is doing? Like, plus one will and plus one attack to, like, 12, 15 different characters you have on the board. It's just still ridiculous to this day.
Yeah, that is pretty bonkers. But I wonder... I'll let you finish, then I'll share my thought.
Yeah, so it was just hard for me to, like, I was trying to justify to myself why I could leave him out of the top three, and I just couldn't. So, and my third pick is Elro here, because he just can kind of handle the entire defensive portion of the game.
But he's
got
to have his bro.
Yeah, so I picked Elro here because just his ability to kind of handle defense single-handedly. Even though he has to include his brother, I think this again just goes to kind of how I rate cards. And even if this card is super niche, it can still be top tier if it's just so strong when it does what it does. And, you know, I'm thinking to some games I had in the last cycle when I was facing like 8 or 9 undead enemy at once, and Arrow here was just like defend, 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 you know, like covering 8 or 9 attacks over several rounds. And I have a hard time thinking about many other heroes that can do that other than Boromir.
Yeah, I suppose that where the impasse we're coming to here is, as you said, it's the way you rate cards. And when I look at these heroes, I'm thinking in terms of usually like raw power. But when you put it in those terms, then yeah, he's a great hero. And I wanted to include him and Elladan because I like him so much, but their codependency kept me from making them, you know, the top tier heroes. But here's what I was going to say about Dine, okay? I'm going to go off on a tangent here. Bear with me. Bear with this old man.
I'm going to put my feet up.
I was watching this heavy metal documentary. Oh, stay with me. And they were talking about this band Venom. Now, if you Google, you're probably Googling Venom right now. Nope. And you're going to look at them and you're going to think, these guys look like a bunch of tools. But what this guy said was, you can't look at them with fresh eyes. But if you did, if you were able to go back to like 1980 and look at these guys, you would think they were like the scariest freaking devil-worshipping metal band ever. Now they just kind of look silly. They look like Manowar. I kind of feel that way about Dine. It's hard for me to go back and think about him in his proper context because we have so many more... I won't even say better, but I will see more interesting heroes now and more interesting decks to use than just the brute force of 20 dwarves, you know, marching down on a quest led by Dine and his, you know, plus one boosts. So, you know, he is a very good hero, but I feel like almost on principle, I can't put him in the top tier because he is so dependent upon the dwarves, and that was so overdone back then. That I feel like it's tainted my objectivity. I don't know. Do you feel that way, Matthew?
I totally do. And I mean, he's how many years old? 4 years old, in the life of the game. So I mean, it's just who uses him anymore. And I don't think that necessarily speaks to power. It doesn't. It could just be fatigue. But Glorfindel keeps being used, and people always complain about it. But people complain about Dane yet no one uses anymore because unless you're a new player of the game, you don't really play dwarf decks. So I sort of agree that it's hard to get out of that mindset. But I don't put him in top tier for the same reason I don't put Boromir or Celeborn or Hirulin or any of these that kind of do the same thing. Thorin, kind of doing the same thing, but just for their very specific trait.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't find any of those super super powerful. Outside of a deck that you build around. But again, Ian's absolutely right. It goes back to how you personally rate cards, and I'm with you, Derek, where I rate the overall general applicability of their power as opposed to if I put these 50 cards in a deck, does this kill everything? Sort of use, if that makes sense.
And in Dine's case, it would. It would kill all the things.
So would.
Who are other top tier heroes? I will say I included Denethor in there.
Sure. I mean, I guess there's that Glowin deck that the janky deck builder guy made, and it's So I've not seen that deck list. I've not seen any videos with it, but just hearing about it right through the mystical magical FFG forums or whatever it was, certainly, you know, I can see him being powerful. But again, he's more niche. Prince Imrahil, right? After characters are leaving play, you know, he can be readying, and that's much more easy to do nowadays when more characters can leave play sort of at will. Hereland, whatever, you know, I mean, they're all pretty good heroes. I think it's harder to pick the best, but I also think it's harder to pick the worst, which we'll get to.
Yeah, I've actually have a huge list for kind of the other top tier because they are, you know, what we talked about, the niche, like, you know, there's Hurlew in the Fair, Celeborn, et cetera, et cetera. I guess the ones that were on the cusp for me is I almost picked Balin for my top three. And part of it was the kind of my own personal championing because I think he is underrated, in general by the community, but, you know, just what he provides, low threat, shadow cancellation plus access to King Under the Mountain is huge. So Balin is definitely there, and Theodred, I think, is still just that kind of consistent resource generation, is still good. And, you know, I thought about Sam as well.
Good old Sam. Yeah, I try to keep it down to about three, but yeah, I agree with you. I could have gone off on any of these guys, but Imrahil is definitely in there. The readying is huge. And Amarthiel. I think I said about Oyun, I think Amarthiel's ability to gain a sphere is very important, and I think it's going to become more important with the more multi-sphere cards we have. Plus, he's got some really boss stats. I mean, he's got tech, he's got combat covered if you can get him some readying. So, but yeah, leadership has. I'm pleased with our assessment. It has some very strong heroes, and probably the most niche heroes. So with that said, who is the absolute worst leadership hero?
They're all good.
Okay, then I will say it. Hirluin.
And it's not. But he's not.
It's not okay. It's not because I'm just a hater. It's because his. Wow. We just said this is a whole sphere of very specific, you know, mostly specific heroes. He is the most specific. You will never play him outside of an Outlands deck. An Outlands deck is very powerful, and it's about to get a good, you know, kick in the pants. Whatever. All my idioms are leaving me tonight. With the new pack, with the new Imrahil. But seriously, you're never going to use them outside of Outlands. So to me, that is the most specific that a card can probably be.
It was really hard for me to pick a worst leadership hero because I don't think, unlike Spirit, there's a clear absolute worst.
Yeah.
But I ultimately settled on Halberad, actually.
What?
He has some uses, but compared to almost every other hero in the sphere, I feel like he's the least impactful on his own.
I think that's your solo player talking, because in multiplayer, being able to optionally engage an extra enemy to save someone else for it is so important. I honestly can't pick one. I get your argument with Hirluin. You almost have me convinced. If I didn't pick Hirluin, I would probably say Elro here, just because you got to pair him with somebody else, and he's not going in a mono leadership deck. He's not going to go in any random deck. You either have to be playing Eladan or someone else has to be, so that requires some planning. But again, I buy Ian's argument about why he's so dang good. So I'm sort of torn between those two, and I'll probably go with Hirluin because your argument was pretty convincing. But I don't think he's bad in any way, shape, or form. I don't think any of them are.
Yeah, Halberad. His stats are kind of... the stats leave something to be desired, but just that free quest power, you know, because to me, even today, after playing this game for so many years, I was playing with the Mirkwood Runner, Chris, the other day, and I said, the same thing is still the hardest thing for me. Maybe it's just because I'm a bad player. But choosing who I'm going to exhaust and who I'm going to leave back is still the hardest thing. So for me to get free questing is, with the caveat of having to be engaged with someone, but having that free questing is just is huge. But we're just going to have to agree to disagree. We can arm wrestle for it at Gen Con.
Sounds good.
Okay, so which leadership heroes are the most niche or specialized?
A ton of them.
Yeah, besides the whole sphere, I put Dine and Elro here, who we already talked about ad nauseum for the reasons that I said.
Any of the trait ones? I mean, Thorin maybe a little bit. Boromir.
Yeah.
Celeborn.
Celeborn made my cut.
Any of the trait ones, I think.
And I throw Glowin in there. You can use him outside it, but if you really are going to use him, you might as well get the most out of him. And in that case, you have to build the deck around him, basically.
Yeah. Right.
Poor old Faramir. He was actually kind of up at the bottom, too, because
really?
His stats are so-so, and his ability is just once per phase, which you can play around with a lot, but anyway, we've already talked about who we don't like, so I'll save that for when we get to lore.
I'm like you.
Faramir's interesting because I feel like he's good, and I just haven't quite found the deck.
That is exactly what you said about Lord Faramir, and I'm going to rip Lord Faramir a new one when we get to him. So I'm just afraid that Leadership Faramir is going to fall in that same pit of mediocrity, just like the character. We're all going to be Denethors, looking down at our poor son who just could not meet our expectations. Which sounds like a Jerry Springer show, but.
But I think he can only get better in the future because more allies will be released, so he'll always have more targets, whereas Lord Faramir is kind of more... well, I guess we'll get into that when we get to lore.
Why do you always have such reasonable things to say, Ian? Just a reasonable dude. Okay. Splashable and versatile. Which leadership heroes are the most versatile and splashable?
Theodred.
I said Theodred. Thank you. I concurred. Yeah.
Team Derek and Matthew.
High five.
Ian, Balin. What horrible hero did you pick?
I had Theodred on there, Balin,
you can join our club.
Sam, Denethor, you know.
Yeah,
Denethor, that's a good one.
I said
even Aragorn, you usually don't think of a high-threat hero as being splashable, but I feel like I've used them a lot as the lone leadership hero because he can kind of do so much. So,
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also included Elrohir and Amarthiel because those guys, well, Elrohir is 9 times out of 10 going to go along with the tactics deck, you know, there's a possibility that if you're playing multiplayer, you might play mono leadership and a partner might play mono tactics with Elian. But because he's almost always going to be paired with some tactics guys, I mentioned that. And then Amarthiel, because he will eventually gain the tactics icon, which goes well with the tactics deck because you can use his, this resource versatility for the tactics as well. So, well, have we wrung every last drop of interest from the leadership sphere? I'm exhausted. How long are we going to do this for? This is going to be a long episode and a good one.
They're all good.
Yes, I concur.
All right, let's move on to tactics.
Tactics, here we go. Round 3. We're going to start with you, Matthew, because you're Mr. Tactics.
Fantastic. No duds in the set.
If you had to pick the best three, if you it's had
tough.
To gun
it,
to your
it
head.
Is tough. I mean, I love tactics. The funny thing is, I think this one's more like Spear, where there's some really good ones and some duds, and I think we're going to have a much easier time discussing. Legolas, top three. Baragond, top three. And then picking my third one is hard. I'm not actually sure what to do here, because I like a lot of them for different reasons, but I think I'm going to say Merry, who I don't actually use very much. But
I said Merry. I got Merry. I said Merry and Baragond, so we're on the same page so far.
Okay. So who's your third?
Beorn.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Because he's just a wall. I mean, he's kind of... There's some tricks you can pull with him, but even just based on his card...
He needs to be used more. I've been missing him. I've been thinking about him lately. I'm with you.
For obvious reasons, Dan seems to use him a lot. But but just the defensive ability and then just being able to swat at things for 5, and he still is at 12 threat is really good. So Baragond is obvious because every time I think about a strict tactics deck, I think about having that wall of defense that he provides. And then Merry, of course, is a very... I mean, I said he's also a very versatile guy because his ability is so universal.
Yep.
What'd you say, Ian? What can we dissent about?
Well, there's some good picks on your list, but mine's a little bit different. There's some good heroes, but my pick kind of comes down to one hero heads and shoulders above the rest, some good heroes, and then some stinkers. And Boromir is head and shoulders. It's like Boromir and then the rest.
Yep. I think I maybe purposefully didn't include him because it's kind of like Dine where...
Yeah, he falls into that same.
You know what's funny is I don't think I've ever used him.
Get out of town.
No, I'm dead serious. Unless
so crazy
Mitch made
to me.
Me do it in the progression series, the first iteration, and I don't remember.
What are you even talking about? He's a killing machine.
I legitimately don't think I've ever used him.
But why? Oh, let Lydian talk.
Maybe because early in the life of the game, there wasn't a lot of ways to reduce threat, and he came out in the first cycle, and
true.
I was always very leery of it. It's a lot easier now, but I think in some ways my opinions of him are colored by the past, which isn't representative of the future. Or, I mean, the present.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. He was more balanced in the past because of that lack of threat reduction, and now there's, like, you can't turn a corner without running smack into threat reduction. It's so easy to use him now, and in fact, he's so good that I'm kind of on a four separation with him that I'm no longer using him in that kind of deck that I was using for a long time because it just started becoming boring to me because he just trivialized combat too much. Like, I think the breaking point for me is I was playing Battle of Lake Town and he just one-shotted Smaug and I was like, okay, like, I'm kind of done with this because I felt like it was making me lazy, like, oh, this enemy this quest throws a ton of enemies at you. Oh, let's see what I'll do. I'll throw one Boromir. Okay, quest done. Like, and it just kind of wasn't fun to me. So even though he's on the top of my list, he's kind of on the bottom of my my personal interest list right now.
Yeah, my only issue with him is that these Boromir decks are just amazing. My only issue with it is that, you know, you got to, you have to get there with the attachments and the resources. It doesn't take a lot to get there, but you still got to get there.
Yeah, it was more fun for me in the past when you would constantly be on the edge of threading out, and then it became a game of, like, you know, how much. It became kind of a push your luck game, which was fun.
And then that also kind of forced you to use his ability because you're like, if I'm about to go out.
You know, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which maybe the original design intent.
I don't know if he's going to receive an errata at some point in the future. I don't know. Or if the designers are just going to kind of take the approach that if people don't want to use them, they won't. But I guess maybe we can have a whole episode dedicated to Boromir in the future. But
yeah, we'll get Brandon on here. It'll be great.
Yeah. My other two picks are Hama. Beyond the Hama Feint, which is still super powerful, but I don't use it again because it's boring. But he just endless recycling of tactics events can be really strong.
What are some of the events that you like using with him?
It could just be Foe Hammer, so you're basically just, you know, bringing crazy card draw onto tactics, which is worth it by itself. Direct damage, so you can just recycle Goblin Cleaver over and over, which is fun. Hands upon the bow, you know, there's actually a lot of good tactics events there that you can recycle. So for that reason I put Hama. He's got low threat, so he's good. And Mablung, I love Mablung, so
he made my
third spot. He's just that resource generation.
Yeah,
it just has turned out
to
be so good for me.
Never used him.
Yeah. And if
all
you pair Hama and Mablung, then that's really good because then you're getting resources and card draw on tactics.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mablung's a lot. He's we'll go ahead and move to the other top tier ones if that's okay, because I included Mablung in there. And he's also, I think, a very versatile or splashable guy.
Yeah.
Because now leadership, you know, the guys we talked about before, play around with engagement. So that provides some versatility. And just any kind of resource gen, especially in tactics, is hugely important. So I'll give Mablung two cheers, if not three.
If I had to have my next tier, I think Bard the Bowman's pretty good.
Yes.
I'd put Brand Son of Bane in there. Again, universally panned, but I think that's mostly from a solo player perspective. People who rate him poorly, I think, have never used him. And he's good in the sense that Merry is good, because it can ready someone else's is hero. And I've seen some ridiculous things happen with Brand. Very underrated, I think. But again, it's a multiplayer hero. I would never use him solo.
Mostly his art is just so unappealing. I think folks just don't want to look at him.
Right, that's part of it. That would probably... I mean, Beorn, if I didn't have... He wasn't in my top three, so certainly. And that's probably it for me.
Now, Theoden, you want to put Theoden up there?
Oh, no, that's the worst.
That's the next question. I also had I had Legolas, of course, Boromir, of course,
sure.
Bard, but also Scorpagorn. I think
he kind
of goes back on what I just said about, you know, basing heroes on their raw power, because he requires the Warhorse and Merry to make him truly bonkers. But just that -1 defense for all the enemies engaged with you is so crazy.
Use him with yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he was actually competing for the top spot. I chose between Malblung and Aragorn. He's really good. He has the fun factor going for him, which admittedly wasn't supposed to be part of my criteria, but it does fit, fit in that he's just so damn fun to use. And he kind of, you know, I've said before that I think I'm kind of a Captain Kirk player, which I live for those moments where you kind of find the solution that can get you out of trouble, and Aragorn is made for that. Like, yep. Okay, how can I engage this enemy, which is going to let me remove this threat, which is, you know, so he's definitely there. And then, of course, some of the other ones you mentioned, Baragon, Legolas, and Beorn were the rest of my list.
Cool. Well, there's definitely a core cadre of the top tier ones, but lots of other good ones as well. Who is the worst?
Not even debatable, Theoden.
Well, he's worse than Dory?
Oh wow.
Yes. Hmm. Absolutely. Hands down. Not even a question. Dory at least can go in a dwarf deck and do something decently.
Yeah.
Whether it's questing for two or attacking for three, that's really good. He's also a pretty good defender, even without adding his ability. Who cares about that? Sentinel, defends for two, 5 hit points, takes lots of direct damage. So much you can do with him, not a dang thing you can do with it.
Hmm. You make a good argument.
I came down on the side of Dory as being the worst. I think I've actually used the, and again, this might be solo bias because maybe you multiplayer players will have to tell me whether Dory can actually be used, but Theoden even by himself is 3 willpower, 3 attack, which isn't bad in tactics. And so, yeah, he's not great. He's not setting anyone's hearts aflame, but he's somewhat useful.
You're saying if you're questing it with tactics, you're doing something wrong. Yeah, we had that discussion with Eowyn, and it's just not the point. I understand
unless
totally
you're in solo.
I understand why he was made. The community bitched forever that tactics wasn't a viable solo sphere because it didn't have the willpower. So they gave us Theoden. I totally understand why he exists, but he's the wrong answer to the wrong question, to the wrong problem, whatever you want to say. And I don't want to be questing with my tactics heroes. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where he is for me. I still think Dory is the worst because you can do... It's the thing, with Aiden, you said you can't do anything with Aiden. You still can do something with Aiden. It's just a weird something that you would that is against the laws of nature. But he does have pretty good stats, so...
I feel like the Theoden has more support, like, because in solo, you may quest with your tactics hero, and so if you're playing, like, a spirit tactics mix, you can throw Snowmane on him, so you can ready, you can do some things.
Sure.
I do think that Dory is possibly not as terrible as everyone thinks, but he's still the worst of it to me, and Thalin is kind of down there towards the end for me, too. Mm-hmm.
If he's clutching certain quests, which is why I didn't put him down. Like if he gets rid of the crows or some of the things, right. and into Ithilien, like he definitely can solve some issues.
I think that's a product of the time. Like if we were recording this 3 years ago, then I wouldn't be saying that. But he just hasn't aged well.
Yeah, sure.
I guess is the issue. Yeah,
but if he's got Theoden. Yeah. He can quest for two.
Yeah, I would, you know, I sort of compare Dory, who I've never used, to Eleanor, who she's sitting around most of the time. And then if there were no treacheries revealed that you wanted to cancel, okay, well, then maybe I'll attack with her, maybe I'll defend with her. Dory's kind of the same way. He's going to sit around probably a little bit, but man, that time you want an extra 2 defense, it could come in handy. There's lots of big, beefy enemies. Again, we could retcon him like we tried to do Pippin and say, well, too bad we can't do it after... the shadow. And I mean, we've had that discussion before, but you know, lots of heroes, particularly multiplayer, sit around kind of waiting for their ability to be useful. And I don't know, I've never used him, but I think in a 4-player game, when you're in a pinch for you want another tactics dwarf, I don't think he's like, ugh, absolutely atrocious. I think he can do stuff.
Yeah, and there have been lots of eject button cards lately that cancel damage and things like that. And he kind of goes in that. Which tactics heroes are the most niche? Theoden,
sure. Aemir's kind of niche because you need to play a chump blocking deck. Yeah,
I included Gimli and Eladan as well. And again, Eladan, same argument as Elrahir, but with Gimli, you know, you have to build your deck around him. You have to give, you know, he's not one that I think I'm going to put in just a round out a deck. He's one that you have to include some cards to really get the most value out of him.
Yeah.
Even though he's got that great new alternate art card, it makes me want to play it anyway.
Yep.
Okay. I guess that one's a little easier because...
Yeah, my list is pretty much the
everything
same.
Everything is specialized in tactics. The specialization is to kill stuff. So the ones that don't kill stuff as well end up being niche. And which ones are the most versatile?
Mary
for sure. Mablung, like mentioned. Mm-hmm. Legolas, low threat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
And he gets
range.
You get to the points.
Great
and,
ability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said Baragon because sometimes you just need
sure.
a blocker. And in a way, he doesn't have resource generation, but in a way, he kind of does because you're going to want to put the shield and stuff on him for free. So being able to do that if he's the only tactics hero is really nice. All right. Well, this fight is wearing me out. This showdown is draining my gas here. So let's go ahead and get to the round four, the lower round, the green round, and then I will go to bed and dream of Theoden getting killed in battle. So the lower sphere, round four. Who do I think is the best? Are the best three lore heroes? And I said Treebeard. To me, that's kind of obvious, but we'll talk about that. Haldir and Elrond. This one was tough for me because, as befits the lore sphere, especially in the context of the Lord of the Rings, all of these guys are very subtle. There are no huge standouts like Boromir. And so, to me, these were the best of the most subtle heroes. And I will defend my answers after I hear your guys. So, who wants to go next? Top three lore heroes.
Haldir, I absolutely agree. What I'll say before I give my next two is that this is the sphere that I've not used probably the most.
Sure.
And it's not because I dislike it. I know I sort of have that reputation and I'm hard on it, but I definitely recognize the power. I think Pippin is great. Even if it just is adding one engagement cost to enemies, mm-hmm. that's an extra round that you can sort of be safe and you get to draw a card. I think that's really good. I haven't used so many of these, like Treebeard I've never used, so I can't really speak to it. So to pick a third, it's tough for me, because so many heroes have had their heyday, like Elrond and Aragorn, but are they still in their heyday? Barovor, I still think is really good, so if I'm going to go with my generalized sort of power that could fit in any deck, I'll just pick Barovor. Everybody loves card draw.
Yep.
For mine, well, one spot's spoken for, which is Grima.
Hashtag Team Grima.
Probably the most predictable choice of the cast, but even just objectively, I think he's super powerful. Just that resource acceleration, you know.
Even though I'm totally biased, everyone would agree subjectively.
Yeah, of course. 9 out of 10 Theodens agree that Grima is the best advisor. I mean, he's reducing by one. If you have Keys of Orthanc, he's also generating a resource. Yeah, he generates threat for other players in multiplayer, but whatever. Grima's top tier for me. Elrond is a clear choice. Just the high stats, the ability to spend for any allies of any sphere. And then the third one was tough. There's actually a lot of good lore heroes, but I actually went for
really?
Barovor as well.
Really?
I actually don't use Barovor a lot, and this one is actually one where I just kind of separated my feelings from it and looked at it and said, even though I personally don't use her a lot, I can see why the cards are just good, and when I have used her, she's made a difference. She's good in multiplayer because she can draw for anyone. So
I've been meaning to try her with more these days, since there's more Dúnedain support. I just have not gotten around to it yet, so I'll have to see if anybody's tried to whip anything up on RingsDB with her and her leadership counterparts. But yeah, there are a lot of really good lore heroes. So, you know, I think Matthew and I agree on Haldir because, kind of like Idrien,
it's basically tactics.
Right? You get the ability to kill stuff within the lore sphere, but just being able to snipe stuff, especially if you give them some attachments, is so good. It's that ability is of course kind of multiplayer specific, but his stats are good. His threat is low. It's kind of what you want. So he might be a little bit niche based on the standards I've given so far, but he's super good. And then Treebeard is just a tank. There's nothing wrong with that Treebeard card. But who are some of the other top tier guys?
Denethor, I think.
Yep, scrying is good.
And Ace of Defender.
Kind of along those same lines, I included Rossiel on there. She is incredibly specific and incredibly specialized, but once you get her going and the type of deck you have to put her in, I think is very powerful.
Yeah, Rossiel is one who I...
Top three.
I like Bilbo. I was trying to... Man, Bilbo's my favorite. I was trying so hard to put him in the top three, I just couldn't do it.
Trying to talk yourself into it. That's kind of how I feel about Rossiel, actually, because she's one of my favorite heroes, but then... and again, this is probably... In multiplayer, I think she's better, and I've just had a tougher time getting her to work in solo. But I did have Treebeard as kind of my... As my other... top tier. Lore Aragorn, that ability is still super strong, and Aristor. Okay. I think Aristor can be super strong in the right deck.
I was hoping Aragorn would come up because I just haven't had occasion to use him in recent times. I'd say probably within the last I don't think I've really even used, well, obviously I didn't use him in the Angmar Awakened cycle because we have his tactics counterpart, so he's still relevant, you feel?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even though he's a bit less relevant because there, as we've mentioned, there's a lot more threat reduction, so it's just threat doesn't feel quite as pressing. But for certain quests, he can, and also because of what he allows you to do, which is load up on kind of those doom cards like Deep Knowledge and Legacy of Numenor. So you're just loading up on cards and resources, and then you just drop back down.
Would your love of Grima possibly colored your take on the Loragorn?
Sure, I do like the doomed and the threat gate for sure, and also the Desperate Alliance combo on multiplayer is still pretty crazy. That's actually a thing.
Yeah.
I remember playing a game in Octagon where someone else was using that, and they just were using those doom cards, and we were just all drawing, filling up our hands, loading up on resources, and then he just dropped us all down back to our start with Desperate Alliance.
Yeah,
that's
bananas.
Yeah.
I also had Pippin on there, which we've kind of already talked about him, but just, yeah, as you said, Matthew, the plus one threat is engagement is really good, and then I think he's very splashable as well, just because it's like not unlike oh my gosh, my brain just stopped working. Not unlike Glorfindel, he's very low maintenance. He's low threats. Mm-hmm. You can quest with him. He's good to go. What about, let's just get to it, the worst lore hero. I'll go ahead and say it, Faramir. I'm just going to say it.
Okay.
Because his ability is, just like Ian said about the leadership counterpart, there's a way to make it work. Nobody's freaking found it yet. And the card's been out for for years now. And when it does work, it's not that good. You know, he does get points for that boost you get when you're doing battle questing, because his enemies are added, his combat goes up, and thusly his questing power. But short of that, I mean, he's just so frustrating because that should be a really awesome ability, and it should work so well with the traps, but it just doesn't. Maybe he was just built too well, and that you can't make him bonkers like his brother. But I've just had never had a good experience with him in my deck. The stats are too well-rounded. So I guess for myself, I like to have a very clear slot into which a hero should go, and Faramir doesn't fit any of those because he's just so straight right down the line.
Yeah.
So there.
This is a harder question for me, believe it or not. I know I have the reputation of being really harsh on lore, but I think the cards are mostly good. To me, there isn't a worse card. If I had to have bottom three, it would be Glorfindel, Bilbo, and Merlond. But I think that they're all good, and they're all decent in the decks that could utilize them. And so if I had to pick one, I'm going to go with Glorfindel. But I don't know if I actually believe myself.
I almost thought you were going to say Bilbo.
And I didn't say Merlond, but I'm going to go.
Yeah, that's surprising. I thought she was destined for Coaster Town.
Yeah, Glorfindel's tricky because he's overshadowed by his spirit brother, his evil twin. But the stats are so good, and the healing is okay. But it's, you know, as we said, they're with age, healing, not unlike threat reduction,
is
so much better.
If he was made today, he would be the same as that ally we just got, which is discard one card to heal one damage.
Yeah.
And he'd be, I think, a whole lot better. But
yeah, for sure.
The problem is lore is just strapped for resources. They have some of the most expensive cards in the game. and so paying for healing is just tough. I mean, he's great in certain quests, like the what's the stupid poison all the time quest, and you die like on the first turn.
Druid Enforced.
It's not really poison, but it's all their direct damage. I mean, he's decent in that one because it's a little bit easier to heal, but then they're prowling you all the time. So, I don't know. It's just, it's really hard to find a way to make him work. So, even though I think his stats are great and could really help out lore, just the ability just is not going to get used much.
Why should I like Galdor?
Who the hell is that?
As I haven't tried him yet, but looking at his card, his ability on paper.
He's the newest ones. I'm sort of just reserving judgment because I don't want to speak rashly and say Steward of Gondor is the worst card ever. Because I haven't used it yet.
Yeah, Galdor is pretty much, I guess, trying to get you the ideal setup, which is, helping to shed the cards in your opening hand that aren't that great while keeping the ones that are and draw it. Yeah. I also haven't used them a ton, so I kind of haven't put my ultimate stamp on it.
But for me, it came down to
Glorfindel versus Faramir as well. And it was a tough one. Ultimately, I came down on the side of Glorfindel being the worst, which pains me because I feel like I used him a lot, even when players had left him behind, so I have a sentimental attachment. But one of the kind of
hard luck cases.
Yeah, I totally am. One of the takeaways from this whole episode, I think, is thinking about what you really want out of a hero. Mm-hmm. And there are certain abilities that are so valuable to have on a hero, like resource generation and card draw, things like that. Because anything you have on a hero, obviously, you're going to have on the starting gate. You don't need to worry about drawing, so you're going to have it right away. And then you look at Glorfindel, and you have healing. And it's, you know, that's not what I want on my hero. Because healing can be important for sure, but I can draw into a warden of healing at some point. I'm probably not going to get damaged right away, so I can wait on that. So I'd rather have something more impactful. And that brings us to Faramir, who, you know, for all the reasons you talked about, Derek, he also just doesn't have an ability that's going to make a big difference right away, unfortunately. And yeah, he's just the frustrating one where he's almost like a word on the tip of your tongue where you feel like you're almost, there's something there, but you can never quite find it. And it's frustrating. I will say, I guess what ultimately made me put Glorfindel at the bottom is Faramir was actually surprisingly good against Battle of Carn Dûm, one of the hardest quests in the game. Yeah, because of his battle questing ability.
Well said. All right, well, let's wrap this up with our last two questions. First, which lore heroes are the most niche or specialized?
Faramir. All the new ones. Restor, probably. Rosiel,
yeah.
Mermond.
Yeah, the card draw ones, the Aristor being the prime culprit, those are pretty specific because the Noldor thing is just kind of barely gotten off the ground, and you really have to build around that. And I said Rosiel as well, just because you obviously there are cards that are specifically tailor-made for the victory display thing, and you have to have those.
I mean, I guess Damron is really only about traps.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably a decent card.
Yeah, he is. Treebeard to an extent, because of his high threat, and you need to be including some healing and probably some action advantage for him as well to really get the most out of him.
Yeah, that's true. Stats are just so good. And who is the most versatile?
Pippin,
yeah.
Biffer, of course.
Biffer for sure. Denethor is pretty good.
Biffer gets you that money. So you know when we were talking about Denethor or Arwen, these guys that allow or even Mablung that allow access to resources. Biffer to me is at the top of that heap when it comes to lore because you can just drag and drop resources to as you need them for your lore cards.
Mm-hmm. I think Bilbo probably could be. I guess the big issue, though, is his non-exhaustion really worth 3 threat? And what I mean by that is Beravor gets you 2 cards, but you have to exhaust her. And so I guess clearly the designers thought, well, Bilbo not exhausting to get 1 card must be worth 3 threat above his stat line. I'm not sure that's the age-old debate. Is it really worth the extra 3 threat? He'd probably be a lot better at 8. Certainly 7.
Well, it's the same thing as you said with Glorfindel. If Glorfindel had been made in the contemporary Noldor niche, then he'd be a lot better. Same thing with Bilbo. If his threat was lower, even just lower threat, like you said, that would be a lot better. But playing solo, he's quite good because you get that extra card draw. But again, his stats are so weak. Yeah, it's tricky. Poor old Bilbo.
Grima's a fantastic splash, for sure.
I agree.
He really is, though.
Splash in the toilet. Poor Grima.
Grima's like the creepy guy who keeps like tagging along with Dex even when he's not wanted.
Hey, guys. You need your threat increased. All right, well, let's go ahead and close this one up. Who's your favorite Baggins Sphere hero? No, just kidding. All right.
It's not a sphere.
The spiders.
Any closing words of wisdom with our hero showdown before we wrap this one up?
I think it was quite scientific. It really is not
debatable. Yeah, I feel like people are going to look back on this, you know, as they're in future card game design sessions and think this is the kind of objectivity one needs when evaluating cards.
Oh yes,
exactly.
My prediction is this will probably get the episode that will get the most debate/hate mail out of any episode we've done.
Dan is going to have a blog entry with his
right.
How wrong we are.
Yeah, I think if there's anything that Lord of the Rings players hold dear, it's heroes. Everyone has their favorite heroes, and so I'm sure people will have some strong words for us.
Well, you missed your opening, Matthew. You're supposed to say Dan has a blog.
Wow, that's right, he does.
All right. Well, this has been episode 43 of the Great Company Podcast, brought to you by our wonderful patrons. If you like what we do on the show and want to support our contests, hosting fees, and so on, please head to patreon.com/grayco to sign up. Special thanks to Matt S. and Bastion, forgive me if I said your name wrong, to be the latest to join the Hobbitry in Arms. As always, you can get in touch with us via our website, which is graycompanypodcast.com, and from there you can connect with us on Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, wherever your social media tendencies point you. Please send your emails to thegraycompanypodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys, and we'd love to read your comments on the air. Thank you so much for listening to this hero showdown, and until next time, farewell.
Good night.
Good night.